1 Corinthians chapter number 1, and we're going to read just a few verses here, down to probably verse number 9, and chapter number 1, verse number 1, down through verse number 9, and it is an honor and joy to be able to, preach and do what God has called us to do, and thank you for all your prayers and support for helping us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says this: Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And we'll stop reading right there in verse number 9. And we're going to go and pray and ask God's blessings over this message and ask God's blessings over this service. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for saving us. Lord, I thank you for letting us be able to come to your house again this afternoon. God, thank you for the good crowd that's gathered together to worship you in spirit and in truth. And God, I'd ask you to help us as we preach your word, that we will not take it for granted, but Lord, I'd ask you to fill us and be able to help us to say everything that needs to be said and nothing that doesn't need to be said. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In your name we ask it, amen and amen. Now, here in the book of 1 Corinthians, I enjoy reading Brother Hub after the Apostle Paul and seeing the missionary journeys as he traveled out and did what God wanted him to do. And we find out that he has went on his second missionary journey as he's writing, as he set up the church of 1 Corinthians, as the church of Corinth. And I enjoy reading in the book of Acts and seeing that God used a person that he saved in Acts chapter 9. But I also enjoy reading it because it seems like on every other chapter that we turn, Brother Kevin, that people are getting saved, people are being called to be missionaries, people are being called to be preachers, and God is using people in a great and mighty way. And that's our desire for North Georgia Baptist College, that's our desire for Philadelphia Baptist Church, is that God would raise up young men and young women that want to do something for God, and to send them out and to see people saved on every other Sunday, every Sunday, every other page of the history of Philadelphia Baptist Church, to see people get right with God and to do something what God wants them to do. And so I enjoy that. This is on Paul's second missionary journey, and he walks into the city of Corinth. Now, I also enjoy, y'all have heard many stories, Brother Mike, of missionaries that have came in, and as they have came in, they have been missionaries to many different countries as far as maybe Africa, maybe South America, different continents of the world. And it seems like you can go and you can see the pictures they bring in on the projector, and it seems like they can have a meeting by a tree, and hundreds of thousands of people would come in, and I guess they have nothing else better to do but come to church. But that's a pretty good thing to do, ain't it? Be able to come to church. But I would enjoy that it would be like that in America, wouldn't you? I would like for it to be that we could have church under a tree and just people would come by the thousands, and then when the preacher would proclaim God's word, that hundreds, even thousands would get saved. And I would enjoy to see that in America. The churches should be filled with people, but it seems like we find other things that we should be doing instead of going to the house of God. But the best thing we can do is sit around God with God's people and worship the Lord Jesus Christ that saved us and has seated us already in heavenly places. That's one of the best things we can do. But I would love to be able to go, and maybe one day God would let me, Brother David, go and to be able to preach and see hundreds of people saved in a foreign country. I would love to see that in America, but I would love to be able to see that one day, see hundreds of people get saved. But see, the city of Corinth was not this place. the city of Corinth was not a place that the Apostle Paul came in, and there was not a welcoming crew that met the Apostle Paul. Nobody said, Apostle Paul, we sure are glad that you came to our town. Nobody said, well, we sure are glad that God called somebody to our town. There was nobody that was praying for somebody to come. There was nobody that wanted the Apostle Paul to come. This town was so much in depth of other gods, as far as they served the Greek gods, and they had games almost like the Olympic games every other year in the city of Corinth. And with those games, Brother Stacy, it brought wealth and it brought pleasure. And with the pleasure that it brought and with the wealth that it brought, they did not think that they needed God. Does that sound like anything that we know today? It seems like America is so in depth with pleasure and with wealth. We have everything that we need, and we really don't know if we need God or not. We really don't know if we truly need Him or not. It's something that we do for fun. It's something that we do because we're maybe that's what we're supposed to be doing. And that's where the city of Corinth was. They had no desire for the things of God. They had no desire for the man of God. They had no desire for the things of God, the church of God. They were so in depth with sin that was on every street, on every corner, in every house, and they did not think they needed God. But I find a man that was called by God. Ain't that a good thing to start out with? Is that people that are called to do something. And it doesn't matter how good Paul preached, but there was something a lot bigger than how good Paul preached. It was something about the power of God that Paul preached with. Now, Paul came into the city. Now, most people in our day think that you've got to have the nicest building to have church. Many people think you got to have a good Sunday school, and I'm telling you, good Sunday school is very important. Some people say you've got to have a good choir, and Brother Mike and the choir does a wonderful job, and that is the thing that brings people in. It's exciting, but can I tell you can have all that and not have the power of God, and you have everything that you think that you need, but you really need the power of God. So we find out the Apostle Paul did not have the greatest choir. The Apostle Paul did not have the greatest building. The Apostle Paul did not have a following. The Apostle Paul did not come in preaching. How did the games go? It wasn't a social experiment for the Apostle Paul. But I want you to find out what the Apostle Paul preached. Now, this is good stuff. I want you to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18. Watch this. It says, for the preaching of what? The cross. The Apostle Paul went into the city of Corinth, Brother Derek, and all he did was preach the cross. Now, you say, Brother McCully, what is so important about the cross? It says it right here. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. What a blessing that is. Now, I want you to watch this very quickly. They say that church don't work in 2017. They say the Bible doesn't work in 2017. But let me tell you this, is that God took the Apostle Paul, and he didn't preach his social experiment. He didn't preach what he thought, but he preached what God thought. And this is what God began to do. There was nothing. Nobody cared anything about the God in the city of Corinth. Nobody cared anything about the people of God. But when they began to hear that somebody came from heaven and he died for them, then the Holy Spirit of God began to get into their heart. Ain't this a blessing? That he came into their heart, and the men that thought they had no desire for God began to desire for the things of God. And the people that thought they couldn't be saved, they began to get saved. And God began to work a miraculous miracle in the church there and in the city, that he made a church and that he set a church and that he constituted a church there, and God did that which was impossible. They say the blood doesn't work anymore, but can I tell you, the preaching of the blood and preaching of God's word still works today. And thank the Lord that God's power is still the same as it was in the Apostle Paul's day as it is today. We can still have a growing church by preaching God's word, because God's word still works. Can I tell you, everything that you go through this afternoon, everything that you went through this year, everything that you're going through, you can find some help in this Word of God. This is a practical word. They say we need to change it. Can I tell you, we don't need to change it. We need to read it, and we need to let it apply to our heart. It is still something practical. There are people today that are still desiring to learn after God's Word, and there is something that is inside of them, a void that they need filled, and there is God's Word that can fill it. It's a practical word that Paul preached. It was the preaching of the cross. Now, as he set up this church, many commentaries, and they don't know because they weren't there, but many commentaries say that the Apostle Paul stayed about 18 months and set up the church there and established the church there. And Paul has been gone for a few years and for a few months and has a span of time. And he gets a letter by a lady by the name of Chloe, and he finds out that there are wickedness going on in the city of Corinth. Now, we all know the city of Corinth, the church at Corinth, was the most talented church, but yet it was the most carnal church, because many people that have talent sometimes don't think they need God. Sometimes people think that they can sing, but yet we've got to have God to sing. We've got to have God's power. I could say much about that, but I've got to continue on. Now, he gets this letter and he finds out many wickedness that is going on in the church. Now, many people say he's already written a letter. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know if God wanted us to have that letter he written before, then God would put it in the Word of God. But we do have 1 Corinthians. And I find out that if he did write that letter, he found out that that letter came on deaf ears. Because most of the time, it seems like God tells us what to do, but yet we keep doing what we want to do. So the Apostle Paul had to write again. And he was writing this letter of 1 Corinthians. And as he was writing this, he starts out the first 9 verses. Now, I wish I could go through the book of 1 Corinthians, the whole thing, but we would be here way too long. And I know y'all got to go to work tomorrow. So, anyways, we're going to go through the first 9 verses. Now, Brother Nix, if it was me writing the book of 1 Corinthians, now, if God would have let me be able to write it, if God said, Aaron, you write whatever you want to, or if I was writing to the church that I had planted, let's say it like that, I was writing to the church that I had planted, and I heard that they were doing something that was wrong. Now, this wasn't just something Paul thought up. He knew that they were doing something wrong. They had turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now, the grace that God has given us does not give us the right to sin, but it teaches us not to sin. The Bible says in Titus that the grace of God teaching us to deny ungodliness and unworldly lust. Don't ever let anybody tell you that we believe in a sinning religion. I've had people tell me that because we believe you can be saved, once saved, always saved, we believe in a sinning religion, and that you can do whatever you want to and ask God to, God's still going to save you because you already are saved and you can't get lost. Can I tell you, if you're truly saved, you'll have a desire to do that which was right. And we preach that we're supposed to be holy and live holy. There is no sinning religion in that, but we do know that God is able to keep us in his hand, and no man's able to pluck thee out of the Father's hand. And I'm thankful that I'm secure in that, but I don't let the grace of God teach me to sin, but the grace of God, that God loved me so much that he died for me. He loved me so much that he's going to keep me in heaven with him. He loves me so much that I'm going to be saved, that I've trusted in him. I want to live like him and not like him. So the teaching of the grace of God, I had to throw that in very quickly. Now, he comes in. Now, Brother Nix, if I already knew that I knew something was wrong. Now, Brother Hub, your kids are a little bit older than mine. One day, I'm going to know that my son did something wrong. Now, I'm going to go into the room and I'm going to say, now, Colton, and instead of saying, now, Colton, I found this, did you do this, I'm going to go all over him if I'm not a good parent. Can y'all know what I'm saying? Maybe now that I preach this message, I'll be a little bit a better parent. But anyways, most of us, I'm sure you have known somebody did something, maybe a worker, maybe a co-worker, and instead of saying, now, are you going to come up and confess this, we get all over them. And it seems like that Paul must have matured as a Christian, because when he started the book of 1 Corinthians, he didn't go all over the church of Corinthians, but he began to remind them of something.
Now, I know us as good independent Baptists, we're good at beating people over the head, but sometimes when you beat somebody over the head, it makes them rebel more than come after what you're doing. And sometimes you've got to show the love that you have for them in instruction. My parents, they instructed me in love because they wanted me to do right. And that's what sometimes we have to do. We have to show love, show instruction, and that's what the Apostle Paul did. Now, go to verse number 9 in chapter number 1. Paul started out this book not beating him over the head, but Paul started this book with some words that I believe will be interested in this afternoon. Verse number 9, everybody there, what does it say? God is faithful. God is faithful. I wonder how many of us have been unfaithful to God this afternoon. I wonder how many of us have done things that we should not have done to God. But I sure am thankful that even though God knew that we were going to do that, yet He remained faithful to you and I. What a wonderful thing that is. God is faithful. Three areas we see God's faithfulness, and we'll go to the house. Number one, we find out, if you look in verse number 1, chapter 1, we see that the first word that you see is the name by the Apostle Paul. Now, he says, Paul, you say, but McCully, what does this have to do with the faithfulness of God? Number one, I find out that God is faithful to the sinner because He sent grace. Now, the greatest example, Brother Steve, of the grace of God, the greatest example of a person that received the grace of God, in my mind, is the Apostle Paul. Because he was somebody that murdered Christians. He was somebody that cared nothing about the things of God. He was somebody that the Bible says that he was a blasphemer. He was someone that hated the things of God. He was someone that despised the things of God. But on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9, God sought fit to show by His way, and God saved him. And then in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says this, that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He said, of whom I am chief. If God can save the chief, He can save anybody. Can I tell you this afternoon, I'm thankful that the faithfulness of God to us as sinners, because He sent the grace of God. I want you to go back just a few years ago, maybe before Christ saved you, before God had changed your life. Remember how of a bad person you were, maybe somebody that cussed, maybe somebody that did drugs, maybe somebody that did the things of the world, but then God sent by the grace of God. What a wonderful thing that is. He sent by the grace of God in our life, and God is faithful to save. Thank the Lord for that. The Apostle Paul, if God could save him, God can save anybody. God can save anybody today. And I'm thankful that God saved me. And I'm thankful that God can save you. I'm thankful God did save some of you. Most of us in the room this afternoon can exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Charles, that God was faithful, that when I asked Him to save me, guess what He did? He saved me. It was the faithfulness of God that God said, I'll send my only Son into the world to show the grace of God to the world that despises me, that crucified my Son, but I want to remain faithful to Him by the grace of God. God is faithful to the sinner because He sent grace. The second example of the grace of God. I want you to see this now. The Apostle Paul, I want to get this right. The Apostle Paul was our example. Now, I find another example of a man that got saved by the grace of God. Look in verse number 1. It says, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Now, this man, Sosthenes, was a man that we don't hear much about. I've never heard anybody name their kid that. And maybe if you do, God bless you. Praise the Lord. But anyways, he was an example of God's grace. Now, you say, Brother McCully, how's he an example of God's grace? Sosthenes was found in the book of Acts. We don't have time to turn there. You can go there later on if you have time. In Acts chapter 19, he was a man that stood there when the apostle Paul was getting beaten, and he could have stopped it, but yet he wanted it to happen, and so he began to let it happen, and he urged it on to happen. He egged it on to happen. And Sosthenes is not found again until we find him in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 1. Now, here's the grace of God. I think y'all should like this pretty good. Now, here's the grace of God, the faithfulness of God, that God did not say, Sosthenes, our person that persecuted the church. I don't see that, do y'all? He don't say, Sosthenes, our person that killed people for the sake of what he wanted to do and to try to get rid of the church. I don't find him that there, our person that hated the things of God. But here's the grace of God. It says that Paul begins to tell him the same person, isn't this grace? The same person that persecuted him. Now the apostle Paul is saying, not a persecutor, but he says, Sosthenes, our brother. Many of us, if we got together before we got saved, there had probably been a lot of bad things that went on. But can I tell you, the grace of God brings people together, and those that shouldn't get along, get along. Can I get an amen right there? And can I tell you, we are brothers and sisters in Christ because of the grace of God. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited that God saved me. I'm pretty excited that God took me out of a place. I know I was raised in a Christian's home. Y'all know that. But it took the same grace of God to get in my life, and he saved me from a devil's hell. Can I tell you, I'm thankful for the grace of God. God is faithful to the sinner because he sent grace. Number two, second area that God's faithful. God's faithful to the sinner, he sent grace. Two, God's faithful to the church because he sent gifts. Now watch this. Watch this. Look in, I think it's verse number 5, if I'm not messed up. Yep, verse number 5. That in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. He said, everything that you are enriched by him. I'm a firm believer in the local church, and I believe everybody that is sitting in this room that is a member of Philadelphia Baptist Church, you might not be a member, but you might be someone that comes on a regular basis. I believe that everybody that is here, God has given you a gift for you to give to your local church. And everybody that is here is to help the local church not go down, but for us to go up. Now, some in this room have been given the gift of teaching. They're teaching classes. And can I tell you this afternoon? You don't have to have some kind of, I'm afraid that we think that you got to have a doctor's degree in theology to be able to teach a Sunday school class. But here's the thing. You don't have to sound like Adrian Rogers. You don't have to sound like the most perfect person to be able to teach a Sunday school class. If God has given you the opportunity to be able to do something for God, then the Apostle Paul, God will enable you to do what God has wants you to do. And I believe that every one of us, everybody that sings in the choir, you don't sing in the choir just for fun, Brother Mike. That's a gift that God has given the local church. Many of you, I'm not able to sing very good. Y'all know that. But can I tell you, if I got in a choir, you might not could hear me so much. But God has given us a gift that we can come together. Some have the gift of singing specials. You say, Brother McCulley, I can't sing. I can't teach. I can't do all these things. Can I tell you, just by being here, you are using your gift of being here by obedience, by coming to the church. Everybody has a hand. You can shake somebody's hand. You can encourage somebody, be an encourager and not a discourager. Can I get an amen right there? I've met a lot of people that have discouraged me. And when I see them coming, I know that they're going to be a discouragement. How do you like meeting those people? I don't know if you do, but I don't really like those people. And I'd ask God to give me a gift of not discouragement, but of encouragement. That God would say, I want you to go in there and that so-and-so that's in the church, you know they're going through some hard times. Why don't you go up there and just shake their hand and just ask God to tell them that God wants you to tell them that you're praying for them. You know what encouragement that is to somebody? that's going through something. God has given us gifts. I believe every ministry that God wants this church to do, there's somebody sitting in this room that's able to do that. I believe there's somebody sitting in here that has the burden, has a desire to get the local church, to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world. And God is faithful to the church because he sent gifts. Now, it gets better than that. Now, then that's pretty good. But I want you to look at verse number 6. It says, even as the testimony of Christ, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now, here's how God's been faithful to the church. This is amazing. This church has a testimony of the faithfulness of God. Now, every time somebody drives by on 41 going towards Adairsville, going towards Calhoun, and they see the sign there, Philadelphia Baptist Church is still having service on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, they're still having church. You know what? That is a testimony of the faithfulness of God. Every time that we come to church and we're able to flip the lights on and the power comes on and you're able to go and you're able to get water out of the water fountain and the power bill's been paid and the water bill's been paid, you know what that's given a testimony of? Is that God's been faithful. There's many things that this church has been through that we can look back and we can see the faithfulness of God through it. We find out, we start Christian school, can I tell you, God's been faithful through that. We started the Bible college, God's been faithful through that. We've done many things on this hill, seen people saved, seen the work of God come through. Can we find out there's over 125 missionaries that we support faithfully every month? Can I tell you, that is a testimony that God has been faithful. I don't know if that excites anybody else in this room in this afternoon, but I sure am glad that there's a testimony that in Philadelphia Baptist Church that God's been faithful to us. And God's going to continue on to be faithful to us. Can I tell you, Christ said, Christ told us in the Word of God that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Can I tell you, he's never forsaken us. He's never let us down one time. He's always been faithful to you and I, and he's been faithful to the church. Now, I believe we could go through this room, and everybody that's saved by the grace of God could say, I have a testimony of the faithfulness of God. There's been times that I didn't know if I could make it through, but God was faithful. I didn't know if I was going to be able to pay the power bill next month, but God is faithful. I didn't understand why God took somebody from us, but God is faithful. There's the testimony of the faithfulness of God. I don't understand everything that goes on. I don't understand why God does things. But I do know that we can stand here on a Sunday afternoon in 2017, and as Paul said 2,000 years ago, that God is faithful. We could still praise God this afternoon that God still is faithful. What a blessing that is. I don't know if y'all are enjoying it, but I sure am enjoying it this afternoon. God is faithful, even as the testimony. Testimony that every time God does something for you, it's the testimony of the faithfulness of God. What a blessing that is. Testimony, God's faithfulness to the sinner, he sent grace. God's faithfulness to the church, God sends gifts. God's faithfulness to the saint is our third point. And I want us to see the faithfulness of God to the saint because of the great promises that God gives. Now watch this. Verse number 9. We're going to come and we're going to go backwards. We're going to break all rules of Bible college right here. Verse number 9, it says this. God is faithful by whom you were called unto the what? Fellowship. Very good. Fellowship. Can I tell you, I'm thankful for the faithfulness of God that I don't have to go through a preacher. I don't have to go through a priest. I don't have to go through a church. I don't have to go through a Catholic church. I don't have to go through anything. But I can have fellowship with God. I can have communion with God. I can lay my head down on my pillow tonight, Brother Mike, and I can rest assured that the fellowship of God that was there today will be there tomorrow because of the faithfulness of God. I don't know about you, but I sure am glad that I have fellowship with him when I was going through some rough times. because of the faithfulness of God. I know that God is faithful to us because of his fellowship. Now, look at verse number 8. It says this, "Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I find out not only was God faithful by the promises that he's given us fellowship, but now he's faithful that one day I'm going to stand before God just as I never sinned. I don't know if we truly get justification, but if you ever get it, you sure will be excited about it, because one day I'm going to stand before God and God's going to stand up there and Christ is going to, I'm going to be covered by, washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to stand there just as I've never sinned. What a wonderful thing that is. I don't know how you can describe it, but I do know many people, the songwriters say that it's under the blood, that it's under his feet, it's cast in the depths of the sea, it's as far as the east is from the west. I don't know where God put our sins, but I do know this, that he don't remember them anymore. And when I stand before God, it's the faithfulness of God that's going to let me stand there and say, thank the Lord that I'm here, and it was because of the Lord Jesus Christ that I'll be able to stand there blameless, just as I never sinned. Look at verse number 7, the very end of it. It says this, verse number 7, at the end it says, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's faithfulness to you and I, saints. Not only is he's given a fellowship, not only is he going to be able to present us faultless, but now we're waiting for Christ to come again. I don't know about you, but every day I wake up, I see more and more wickedness in the world. I see more and more things that we're going to have to go through, that we're going to have to, our kids will have to go through. Can I tell you, I'm waiting for the day that Christ comes in the sky, that he comes in the air, because I know that he's coming because he's faithful. They're going to say in the last days, where's the promise of his coming? Y'all been preaching this for years, Brother Kevin, that he's going to come, and he still hadn't came. They're going to say, Brother Jeff, well, they said, y'all said, Brother Bo, y'all are coming. Everybody says he's coming, and he still hadn't came. Can I tell you, just as Paul thought he could come that day, he can still come today. And God's faithfulness is going to tell us that we're waiting for the day that we get called home. Now, as we are waiting, we know that God's faithful to us, not us to be faithful to him. I know that God's been faithful to us. I know that he's going to be faithful to us. But as these days are coming to an end, I believe Christ could come back at any time. He could come back today. Help us to be watching and waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be faithful to him. I don't know. I believe we think it's a little bit of maybe a first grade thought that because God was faithful to us, he died on the cross for our sins. He loved us, Brother Randy, so much that I want to love him so much. He loved me so much that he died on the cross for our sins, but sometimes I find myself forsaking him when he didn't forsake me. Sometimes I find myself not doing what God wants me to do when God was faithful to me. Help us to be faithful to God because he was faithful to us. I don't know about you, but if I be honest with myself, sometimes I find myself not giving my true faithfulness to the church, my true faithfulness to God, my true faithfulness to his name and getting the gospel out to a lost and dying world. Sometimes I wonder if I'm truly doing what God wants me to do. Am I truly giving 100%? And I want to give 100% to God. I want to give 100% to God. I want to be used by God. I want to do what God wants me to do. But I've got to be faithful to him. And guess what God honors? God honors faithfulness. Many people sitting in this room, because you were faithful to God, you could tell us a testimony of when God was faithful to you. Young people, be faithful to God because God honors faithfulness. Today, what you did in church might not, you might not think, man, I didn't do anything. I don't know if I really did anything for church. Can I tell you, we've got to have you in church. We've got to have you here. Because the next generation is going down, is passing away, going off the scene. We've got to have some young people stand up and say, we want to be faithful to God because He was faithful to us. We want to be faithful to Him because He died on the cross for our sins. Help us to be faithful to Him because God's been faithful to us. There's another generation that needs to raise up and to be committed to the things of God. I know commitment's hard, and I know sometimes we have to force ourselves to do things. There's many times I get up and have to go to church, and I said it right, I have to go to church. I don't always want to go to church every morning. I know you probably never heard a preacher say that, but hey, that's the honest truth. Every morning I wake up, I don't jump up and say, man, we get to go to church. You can look on Facebook and people say they do it, mark her down. There's some mornings they wake up and they're not ready to go to church. They can say it all they want. They can write on Facebook, but there are some mornings that you don't want to come. Amen. Yeah. Some mornings you maybe don't want to teach that Sunday school class. Maybe I heard a story. I don't know if I've told this here. I don't know if I've even heard it here. I don't remember where I heard it. Actually, I do know. I haven't told this here. I do remember when I heard it, where I heard it. It just takes me a while. I'm a little slow. Yeah, y'all bear with me. I remember there was someone that went off to fight in a war, and I can't remember the war, but they went off to fight in a war, and they were laying on their deathbed. And they had two things they wanted to say. They said they wanted to write back and tell their mom that they loved them, tell their family that they loved them, and then they wanted to write back and say, tell their Sunday school teacher that they remembered while they were there the things that they taught them in Sunday school as a little kid. That letter came back to that Sunday school teacher. The Sunday school teacher read it, and her heart began to break. And the reason why was because the Sunday before, she thought she wasn't doing anything. She thought she wasn't making any progress. She thought nothing she was doing was anything anything for goodness. She quit her Sunday school class the week before, and she got that letter the week after. And she didn't realize that she was making an impact in somebody's life years ago, and in those people, young people that she was teaching then, that it kept that in their heart for years and years to come. Can I tell you, I don't know if you think you're making an impact or not. Sometimes even preaching, you don't think you're making an impact. Sometimes the devil will tell you that you're not making an impact. And that's what the devil's supposed to do. He thinks he can do it. He thinks he wants to get on your back. I don't know why I'm saying this. It's not in my message. But I know that the devil gets on people's back and say, I don't know why you came to church. I don't know why you teach that Sunday school class. They're not getting anything. They're 2 years old. They're 3 years old. Nothing they're going to get out of this. Can I tell you, remember that the devil's a liar. He's always lied, always will lie. And remember the faithfulness of God, that you're training somebody, you're helping somebody, whether you think you are or not. They're watching you, and help us to remain faithful to God, where we can see another generation raise up. That we can see another generation raise up, that we can see revival in our days. God, help us to be faithful. Help us to be faithful. They're coming to get a song. Everybody's standing, every head's bowed, every eyes closed.